Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Boy's voice, he answered, "I think it's Adam's suit." Is that funny? Oh man, I wish I could read all these. A Sunday school teacher was discussing the Ten Commandments with her 5 6-year-olds. After explaining the commandment to honor thy father and thy mother, she asked, "Is there a commandment that teaches us how to treat our brothers and sisters?" Without missing a beat, one little boy answered, "Thou shalt not kill." That's good stuff. Tonight's message is called Our Response Says It All. Our response says it all. Turn to 3 people around you. Tell them, our response says it all. Tell them right now. 3 people around you. So, my son is 1.5 years, and he is growing rapidly, not only in stature, but in wisdom. In wisdom, he is learning things left and right, and right now he has a personality. I love his personality, particularly with food. Anyways, this is the other day I experienced this episode with my son. My son had an episode, not I, which is actually not par for the course. Usually I'm the one having episodes, but my son, I had fixed him food. You know, we have a lovely breakfast. I usually cook him some eggs. He gets a banana. He gets his, you know, his baba. This kid's 12-course meal every time, you know what I'm saying? But my son has now, after he finished his food, me being the good father I am, proceed to cook my own. Okay, I'm there all by myself. Carissa is at work, and so it's just me and my son time. And as I begin to bring my food to the table, my son, as if he hadn't eaten anything at all, began to throw the biggest temper tantrum. Face squunched up, and he sits on the ground, and he does like this body moonwalk where he kicks his feet and he slides until his head hits a wall or a chair of some sort. And I was thinking, like, son, what on earth are you doing? And a verse came to my mind, and I believe it was the Lord. It's John 5:19. It says this, "Therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner." God is funny. And I started to think about really what this verse was speaking to me at this moment. See, although I am an adult, and I, as far as my recollection, I stopped throwing temper tantrums of that degree when I was a child. My wife will probably tell you different if there was only a video camera. I started thinking about how I respond to God in certain situations. What is my response? Another example, the other day, I came home and my wife, like any man would love to come home, my wife was happy to see me. She made dinner, she was super stoked, great mood, but man, did I say the wrong thing out of the gate, and the response I had was no longer happy wife, happy life, but me having dinner by myself. See, guys, the thing you don't want to say when you come home to dinner and a happy wife is, "Did you do the dishes?" I felt like Harrison Ford in Indiana Jones. That old guy was in the corner going, "You chose poorly." You get what I'm saying? My response was terrible. Her response was justified. But we respond to so many things, and we have opportunities on a daily basis to respond to our Father. We're going to go through some scripture tonight in the college group. We're actually going through a series called The Gospel Truth. We're going through the book of Luke. We've only made it a few verses, but last week we talked about this particular passage. Let me give you a backdrop, but we will be in Luke 1. If you have your Bibles, iPads, cell phones, smart devices, you can flip there. Luke, right? Elizabeth and Mary both. Angels go to both of them saying, hey, you're going to get pregnant. Mary in particular, Gabriel comes and says, hey, you've been chosen to carry the Son of Man, the Messiah, the Christ. Both of them have this news, and this is where we're going to pick up in verse 46 of Luke 1. And Mary said, my soul exalts the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. I'm going to read this again because I really want us to get the context of what I'm trying to say here. Mary has just been told she is going to receive the Son of Man. She is going to be the mother of the Savior of the world. And this is how she responds. Again, verse 46. And Mary said, my soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. With my incident with Parker, God was showing me that my responses to him have been in lack. The very response that Mary gave here while we were going through this scripture convicted me. I thought about all the things that God does for me, just the little things. This is where it got me. It's because every day before I leave my house, ask my wife, I pray, God, please protect my home. I pray that you would surround my house with angels. I pray that you would send angels with my daughter. You would send angels with my wife and son. Wherever they go, if they're going or coming, I pray that you would protect them. And every morning I pray the same thing. But I got convicted because every morning I don't start that conversation out by going, God, I stink and love you so much. Thank you for taking care of my house and family yesterday. Because let's just face facts. What if one day I woke up after praying that and somebody robbed my house, kidnapped my children? I would definitely have a response then. Would I not? And God was showing me that throughout my daily relationship with him, I have a lot more responses that are grumbling and complaining than are of praise and worship to our King. My son, whenever I do come home, he's got a few words down, and hi is one of them, and bye is another one. So whenever I'm leaving, I know it's terrible. It's kind of like this thing that fights within me because my son hates when I leave, but I love that he hates that I leave. Does that make sense? He's like over here throwing a fit, and I'm going like, ah, but deep inside I'm going, yes, love, love, right? Love. Bye, bye. This is what he does to me. And when I come home, hi, And he'll run and he'll give me a hug and he'll rest his head on my shoulder. And I'm going, son, as a father, man, if you responded to me that way every single day, I'd give you everything you want. Everything. Right? Right? And we're going to get to a scripture later that takes that to the next level in Matthew 7. By viewing this text, though, I took a few things out of it, and I have a few points that I want to make tonight that you can write down, because I want to learn how to have the correct response in every situation with my Father God. But in this scripture, I could tell by Mary's response that she had an understanding of things. This is what I mean. If you have a journal, write this out. PowerPoint number one. We must understand balance. See, my son has not learned balance yet. My son does not understand that sometimes he gets and sometimes he doesn't. Job 2, 1 through 10. Let's read this together. It's a perfect example of what I mean. Again, there was a day, and these previous verses are just setting the tone. And there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it." The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. And he still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to ruin him without cause." Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. However, put forth your hand now and touch his bone in his flesh. He will curse you to your face." So the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your power. Only spare his life." Let me just make a point on this. This is a side note. Satan may have power, but only the power that God allows him to have.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a potsherd to scrape himself while he was sitting among the ashes. Doesn't sound fun. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?"
Glory.
And all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Yep. Let me be clear with this. I'm not saying when something is going wrong in your life that you have no ability or you don't have the right to mourn. You don't have the right to pose a question. But just as my son, when he does not receive something from me and does receive something from me, I would like his response to stay the same. Think of how many times in our lives when we have this way with the Lord. When things are going good, we act a certain way. But when things are going bad, our response is completely different. It's as if with our circumstances, our feelings about God change. Do your feelings or does your faith in God change with your circumstances? Something to think about. Some of us have already set a threshold in our lives. I'll take this much, God. This is my boundary. I'll be poor, but I don't want anybody in my family dying. Or, I'll drive that car, but I won't drive that car. Almost as if we tell God when he can hit that limit or not, when he'll get the response that we give him. Number two, do I understand my place? Or we must understand our place. See, my son does not understand his place in life. My son does not understand his role in the food chain in the Elliott household. Papa Bear, Mama Bear, Baby Bear. But I understand, because of life's demands, the responsibility, the pressure, everything in life, our place can very much take over God's place. Can very much take over the place of everything else in our life. People, everything's thrown out the window when responsibility and pressure is at our door. We are the first one, and our needs are the first thing on the list that need to be met. And so our responses follow suit with our selfishness. We can sometimes act as if we're almost owed from God, like he owes us something. And I'm not here to convict you, trust me. This is nailing me right in the heart. But God put this on my heart, because God isn't up there going, "You will respond to me like that. You will respond this way." God's up there going, "I long for you to respond with running into my arms, and with gratitude, and with praise, and with honor, and with glory." Throughout your week, how much praise, honor, and glory do we respond to God, no matter what comes our way? How much? I have this saying, and it's another thing that you don't ever say to your wife. Sometimes, and it's me as well, I can live in the United States of place your name here. Sometimes when my wife and I, we don't always agree. You'd like to think we would. I have great ideas. But sometimes we don't see eye to eye. And sometimes, very seldomly, I don't know if I've said it in a while, but I'll say, "Man, I thought I lived in the United States of America, not in the United States of Carissa." And that's the way it feels in the room when that's said. As if I don't even want to make eye contact at that point, I almost then get the sheets and the pillow and sleep right on the couch right then and there without anything. But we can live in a state of the United States of place your name here. Everything is about me. I'm going through this right now, or I have this going on. God, I love you to death, but you need to provide this for me. Or where are you here? Or why aren't you there? Or man, you sent that person in my way to help them. I really don't have the time to help them because I need to help myself. And it's not necessarily that we do it maliciously, but we do it unconsciously. Does that make sense? Philippians 2, 1 through 7. "Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." Amen. Have this attitude in yourself. Highlight, underline, circle this next part. "Which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men." See, what I'm understanding is God wants my response to be humility and praise and honor and glory, not because he's a God up there that's going like, "I deserve this. I deserve this. This is how it's done. This is how it's gonna be, end of story." But because that's how he did it. That's how he did it. Jesus. Don't you love the fact that we serve a God that leads by example? Amen. That Amen. Leads by example. Amen. This is why responses are so powerful. One, they're for God. right? How great our dad must feel getting that praise, honor, and glory. But the second, your responses are powerful because of the people that are watching you respond. Even in good things. I know this is always used in circumstances where it's like the way you respond in a trial will minister to people. But let me tell you this. We teach our kids to say please and thank you, to open the door. No, sir. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Correct? What are we teaching people when great things happen to us and when we're getting blessings and we still don't respond with gratitude, thanksgiving, and praise to our God? It's something that hits me in the core. How can I expect my little boy that I'm trying to teach and mold, and I'm really, man, he climbs on tables and he throws fits, and but he's learning how to play basketball and he knows how to say, we're teaching him how to say amen. So before we go to bed or before we eat or whenever we pray, you know, all the Christian times to pray, in Jesus' name, amen. And he's learning, he goes, men. Men, men. But the responses are so important for other people, even when we have blessings in our life. It really shows other people that, man, oh, that's how you're supposed to love God. That's, oh, so you can have that type of intimacy and romance with your heavenly Father that you don't see. You can have that? Absolutely. Absolutely. And I almost think it's just as powerful as when you're going through a trial and you respond with praise. I almost think it's just as powerful. Colossians 1:16 sets us straight, right? For by him, all things were created. Both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him. And what's this last part, church? For, say it again. For him, say it one more time, I love it. For him, we were created for him, by him and for him. Which means this life, you hear it all the time, is not for us. But man, the devil likes to make us think that it is. But that's not to be misconstrued with us not doing anything, or you can't have money, or you can't be successful. It just means that when you are successful, you go, it's because of my God. There it is. See, because I feel like this is the sly way that the devil comes in. He says, you did that. You accomplished that.
Preach.
You handled that business. You got that sale. You got that house. You got that car because you worked hard, or you're there, you have that wife, or you have that husband, or you have that child. And I go like, man, if I really thought about it, my child was taken away yesterday. I'd be like, God, I should have thanked you for my child more. It said, what if you only had tomorrow, what you thank God for today? And I think that these are things that I want to begin to ponder on. I want to begin to think about and make a conscious effort to thank and praise my God all the time for. It's something that you have to, you know, there's those things that you can just go on autopilot, but then there's those things that you have to make an effort to constantly think about. This is one of those little things that can get out of hand if we don't make this an effort. Does that make sense? You guys following me? Think about this with selfishness. We don't mind being selfless or kind or generous until it's inconvenient for us, right? But think about the things that selfishness has started or destroyed. War is a direct effect of selfishness. War, the wars that we have going on in the world are due to selfishness. Two sides couldn't come to an agreement. And along with that is divorce. People divorce because essentially there was a disagreement. And one side or both sides could not come to humble themselves. And it grew and grew and grew and grew and separate and separate and separate and separate until we have divorce. Think about poverty. There's some people that decide to live on the streets because that's the way they want to live. And then there's others that choose not to be on the streets, but they're still left on the streets because the people that have the ability to do something about it don't. Number three, and I'm almost done. We must understand God's place. These are all things that Mary understood. Mary understood balance, right? Mary understood balance. She understood her place. She called herself a bondservant. And she understood God's place. Mary knew that she didn't deserve. It wasn't something that she deserved that God gave her. But God gave it to her because he loved her. See, my son has to understand where I roll and how I roll, and that my love is not conditional. It's unconditional. And our God's love for us is unconditional, which means that he knows what we need when we need it. And it has nothing to do with whether you deserve it or not. Yes, do I believe that if you're following God, you're going to be blessed, and if you're not following God, you might not get that allowance because you're out of the nest? Sure. But I think that's across the board. If I live at home and I do chores and my parents want to give me money, boom. If I move out of the house and I go, see you later, I'm an adult, I pay bills, and then I get in debt, and I don't get no more allowance. But Mary came to understand this. See, my son, when he's crying and he's looking at me and he's fussing, nah, 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 I want it. I'm going like, no, you can't have this. You already had yours. He may be thinking, much like we do, that, oh, you're mad at me. You're mad at me. And God's going like, dude, you just ate, homie. You're coming at me all wrong. We must understand God's place, that God's in control. God knows what is good. We're told this all the time, but do we live in such a manner or such a way that we believe this? Matthew 7, I told you we talk about this verse, right? I told you, man, my son, if he runs the door, I'll give him everything. Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, God bless you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? And everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. A few ending verses, and then I'm done. God wants our praise. He wants our response to be praise. And I know, because God uses my son as an example to show me how much he loves me in my life all the time. And that it extends past that. And man, oh man, do I love when my son praises me. And man, oh man, does it really make me want to give him everything. I won't give him anything that's going to hurt him. But anything that won't hurt him, man, I want to bless, I want to pour out on him. But man, I don't want to force him to praise me, but I just want his response with me to be praising everything that I make a decision in his life. Does that make sense? Check these verses out. Psalms 145:3. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. The next one, please. Psalms. Be to me a rock of habitation to which I may continually come. You have given commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. And last, before I close, in the message, hallelujah, you who serve God, praise God. Just to speak his name is praise. Just to remember God is a blessing now and tomorrow and always. From east to west, from dawn to dusk, keep lifting all your praises to God. God is higher than anything and anyone, outshining everything you can see in the skies. Who can compare with God, our God, so majestically enthroned, surveying his magnificent heavens and earth? You give it up. He picks up the poor from out of the dirt. He rescues the wretched who've been thrown out with the trash, seats them among the honored guests, a place of honor among the brightest and best. He gives childless couples a family, gives them joy as the parents of children. Hallelujah. Let's pray. God, you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy of thanksgiving and gratitude and honor and all the above, God. You are worthy, and it is due to you, God. So I pray, whatever our perspectives are, wherever our understanding is off, I pray that you would correct that, God, and fill our hearts with joy and love and gratitude and thanksgiving for you on a daily basis. I pray, God, that you would work with us and have grace on us as we work on our responses to you in everything, that we may not forget you. It says that every good and perfect gift is from above. Thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for the small things that we do not see. God, forgive us for taking any glory that does not belong to us, God. It's yours.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.